Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 395, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined today by Max Monty from MaxMTechnology.com. Welcome to the show again, Max.
Thank you so much for having me back again.
It's a pleasure.
I really enjoy coming on here and just sharing what little info I know every now and then, and hopefully getting into the community and letting other techs take advantage of this. So,
absolutely. So we kind of already know Max's backstory and stuff from the last Podnuts, actually probably last several Podnutses he was on, if that's even a word. but today, one of the reasons I want him to come back on is he is got the what I consider the iPhone repair market kind of cornered in his neck of the woods. And he has some different things that he does to order parts, repair the phones, and just all kinds of stuff that I'm honestly afraid to do. It's not something that I wanted to get into, but he keeps explaining it in such a way that it makes it sound so easy to do once you get through a couple of them. And it's so lucrative that it actually makes sense to have that as part of your service in the computer repair field. So that's one of the reasons I want to have him on today. And we'll probably talk about some of the other things that he's doing in his repair shop and just what's going on with him in general. So why don't you go ahead and kick it off, Max? And I don't know where you want to start with the iPhone repair, with what you've been doing, kind of where you order your parts, and maybe what's coming up with the iPhone 6.
Okay, sure. Let's start with just the iPhone 6 in general. So that way we can go ahead and get that out of the way for all those Apple haters and
we love Apple.
They can skip through I don't know, we'll just pre-warn them maybe next couple of minutes or so. I guess I'll just start by saying why. To me, repairing the Apple products as far as the iPhones and the iPads is really simpler than most people probably think it would be. And that, having tried to do a few repairs on Android based iPhones or iPhones, phones, the iPhone is just a lot easier. There's fewer, smaller pieces, based of, what I've, have found. I only did what did I try to do? I can't think of what they were now. Anyway, it was from a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And then, a few Samsungs, and I just was pulling my hair out, about how many times I had to make a new, sheet to diagram where these little screws were going to go, or try to pull ribbons that were sticker based, so that way whenever you lay the ribbon back down, it has the sticker glue or the glue on the back, and try to not rip those little bitty wires. So that's why I pretty much stick to the iPhones, and in my area most of the people have iPhones based on the requests that I get. Every now and then I'll get one for, another device. And I just don't want to take the time to learn how to fix another device. That's why I stick to these. And good news is that upon the release of the iPhone 6, officially as of today, iFixit has already got a teardown up on their site for the 6 and the 6 Plus. It's going to be the same as the 5S and the 5C as far as repairs. So we're still, it looks like at this point, just going to have a couple of screws, pop open the screen, disconnect a few, pull out two or three different screws, disconnect about three ribbons, put on the new screen if you have your new screen set up already, and then you're done. So, it looks like it's going to be maybe another 10-15 minute repair job for something. You can charge 110, 115. And then on the sixes and stuff, obviously the screens are going to be more, but since it just came out, and we can go over that because I've already got some prices on repair screens, okay, from one of my sources. And, this is going to be easy money still for the next couple of years, looks like.
So what's the cost in parts to repair an iPhone?
Let's just stick to the, let's say maybe the 5C and the 5S right now. The 5S, the 5C, and the 5, because the 5C and the 5 are basically the same phone.
Okay.
Well, I say that, but the screens are different. So they're not. So you got to order for each of the three 5s that are out right now, you have to order a separate screen. You got to make sure you order the right part because you can't use a 5S on a 5 or a C because the build on them. And a lot of that has to do with the C and its plastic case is laid out different than the frame on the S and the 5.
Okay. Yeah.
And the ribbon placement on the 5S has different connectors. If you order parts, you got to order all three of them. And then you got to order it in either black or white or color if they want a color conversion. So the parts right now on the 5s are really cheap. Let me look here real quick. I wasn't thinking about that, but I just got an email from one of my sources for the 5s. They're under $50, I think.
Okay. So you're making, you know, more in labor than what you're paying for the part then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. My labor on them I just changed my prices. So the 5S and the 5C are still a little more expensive. They're like 110 and then the 5 is 100. So,
Now, why is that? What's the price difference for?
The 5S and the 5C screens are just a little bit more, not much more.
Oh, okay.
But I just kind of based it off of, the 5S is newer, so most people should expect that it should cost a little bit more than the 5S or the 5C.
Okay.
And the 5C is, a quote-unquote specialty case with that stupid plastic frame.
Right.
So I have to order, the frame or the repair glass screen has to be a separate order, because I have to keep inventory of three different ones like we talked about, and just more of a pain on my part. So I'm going to kind of bump that to those that got the 5C. They have to suck it up.
So sometimes I guess you would suggest, if you're not getting a bunch of 5Cs in, let's say, but you're getting a bunch of 5s and 5Ss, maybe you take the 5Cs and you order them just as needed. But you might keep the other ones on stock a little, or have some more. I guess it depends on how much business you really have coming in for those type of repairs. I know for myself in my own business, I keep getting calls on Samsungs. Mm. And, it's just not one of those things I'm willing to, again, like yourself, go out there and learn what each and every different model is. And I'm just like, you know what? It's not something I want to delve into, but it sounds like with the Apple products, a lot of people still have them. They're on all the carriers, and it sounds like they're pretty generic as far as repairing them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess the thing is if someone's an Apple person, then they're an Apple person, and you don't have to worry about the different platforms that the iOS comes on, as to, with the Android, if someone's an Android user, then, they're going to have multiple platform types that, it can come on. So therefore, you've got a wider variety of parts that you're going to have to keep on hand, a wider variety of devices that you're going to have to know how to get into and tear down and keep up with. And then, they change quite often. As far as, the Android platforms, it seems like, at least every other month or so, there's a new phone that's Android based. And so,
yeah, that's a lot to keep up with. Where, on an Apple cycle, you have, is it a full year before they bring out the next, or do they bring out a reiteration, or is it like 18 months or something like that?
Yeah, they kind of have it on a same rotation, to where, it was almost this time last year that I got my 5S. And then, So they kind of have it on the same. You know, each device has its same cycle. Like the iPads will be spring, and the Macs, you know, will be around that same time. The notebooks, and that's just the way they run their cycle. So that way, you keep more people buying their products.
Right. And now, as far as obviously Apple started off with the iPhone.
Yeah, it was the first gen iPhone, which is very similar, you know, to what the iPhone 6 looks like as far as the case wise and stuff. I mean, it was more rounded than the 3. And then, you know, when it came out with the 4, then they kind of went more back to the little wedge shape, as far as, you know, not having a round back and stuff like that. And then, you know, the 6 is kind of a cross between those. So, you know, I'm excited about them. I've got mine sitting in my cart. I didn't click the button yet still on my iPhone 6. Just because, I don't know. I mean, I was like that. You know, I was like, man, I got to get the next one. Got to get the new one. And then whenever I loaded it to my cart and, you know, of course, the 6, I'm going with the 6 Plus. Just whenever I do it, I'm going to go with the 6 Plus just because it's bigger and I'm old and I need a bigger screen to look at.
And so, that's a 5.5-inch screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Yep. So I'm gonna go with that. But, man, you know, of course, then with these, they bumped it from 64 to 128 gigs, and of course I got to get that. So once I got finished and was ready to check that, you know, that click that last button, I was like, dude, that's a lot of cash.
Exactly. Yeah.
So and the other reason is I mean, I got my 5S when it came out, and I didn't open it until the end of December, whenever the jailbreak came out last year, or, you know, for the 5S, just because I've always ran them. Well, once I found out about the jailbreaks and started running my phone's jailbroke, I've just liked them that way. I always feel kind of weird running just a straight platform without it being jailbroke, just because I don't know really what's going on with it as much.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then you can customize it with the jailbreak. So I convince myself that I'm going to try to wait until it gets jailbroke. There's, you know, talk of it already possibly going to be able to happen with the iOS 8. And so I'll just kind of wait and see and then go from there. Because, I mean, with my jailbreak, I've got a lot of features that I use whenever I go like onto a job site, as far as the applications. It's where I can do like network searches that are way better than with the apps out of the app store. So
I got you.
And I got a couple of different other things. And some of the things that I got on my jailbreak right now are features that, of course, came out on iOS 8. I wonder why, you know, I wonder where they got those from. Yeah. Apple gets a lot of their, you know, new features for their phones from the jailbreak community. So.
Oh yeah, you know, so, the joke is nowadays, you know, I was joking with another friend at work who said, "Hey, you gonna order an iPhone 6?" And I'm like, "No." I said, "But hey, I've got this old Samsung Galaxy S3, and let me show you the features that you're gonna see in 2016."
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, these will be important, but, you know, so that's kind of the running joke.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
Now, what's the oldest type of iPhone that you're still working on today, that you still get, that you still see?
The 4. Okay. I had someone want me to do a repair on the 3 the other day, but it was, you know, it was their kids that they use pretty much just for an iPod.
Okay.
And I told her that I could. I mean, those are really simple to do. A 3 is about the same as doing a 5, as to where you just pop the screen and take the screen straight off. You know, instead of the 4 and the 4S, where you got to go in from the back and take everything out just to get to the screen. So, generally, I mean, most people now, I'm seeing 4Ss. Every now and then someone will come in with a 4. Those are usually on a pay-as-you-go type of plan, you know, like with a GoPhone type of system or something like that.
Right.
They're not on a contract. But, you know, if it's a 4S or above, those are usually on a contract and people still, you know, are using them. So I'll keep fixing them.
Very cool. Now, what type of tools, like, you know, screwdriver type tools, do you have to have to work on these things?
Nothing special. Just a small screwdriver, you know, a good one that's not going to strip out whenever you, you know, go to take out a screw.
So not the cheap ones that they send you with the screens.
Exactly. Yeah. You get maybe one usage out of those. You know, if you can get through all get through all the screws, you're lucky. And then if you can get through all the screws out and then back in, you're real lucky. So,
right.
You know, just a good screwdriver, you know. And then they, for like the 5 model, they, you know, if anyone's done any looking around and stuff, they sell these little suction cup. It looks like a kind of like a giant paper clip with suction cups on both sides that's supposed to be helpful in popping the screen. But I found that I don't even like to use that no more because I just, again, back to the, you know, iSesimo, I can get the screen off with less damage concern using my iSesimo than trying to use one of those screen poppers just by wedging it into the bottom left corner. There's an area on the screen that's just wide enough to wedge it in there and lift up on it without worrying about damaging the screen or any components inside the phone right behind the mid frame and the glass. So okay. I just do that. Yeah, just pop it up there and then just run it along the sides. And then once I get it up, once you get the bottom of the phone where the speakers are, it's got little clips there. Once you get that popped, then you just slowly work it open. So that way, once you fold it open, you're not going to rip the cabling off the back of the old screen.
Okay.
And then when you can get it folded up and then you can take off your shielding plate and then get to the ribbons where they attach to the motherboard and stuff. So yeah, just I mean, you know, good pair of screw, good set of screwdrivers, and you know, your Pentalobe tool so that we can get the two screws out of the very bottom, and then you know, iSesimo and your repair parts, and then you're good, you know. So $50 and you're ready to
right.
start fixing phones. I just found here from one of my suppliers, the 5S LCD assembly, $27.27. The 5C, $27.27.
Oh,
and the,
nice.
Yeah, and the 5 is $26.94.
Okay.
So, and I guess, you know, I mean, unless you want to talk more, well, in the past I've talked about parts from a company called E-Tech Parts. Let me double check. And they make some good parts that are good tools that not only for, you know, tearing one apart, but for trying to repair the midframes on the iPhone and especially on the iPads. You know, if anyone's ever done any iPad repairs, or, you know, had an iPad, most of the time whenever it gets dropped, it's going to land on one of the corners.
Right.
And, you know, again, you know, we kind of touched on this before in past episodes, but when once that corner's damaged, you're hosed because you're going to have to change out the case or sit there with the Dremel and try to round that corner back out. Otherwise, your glass isn't going to go back in there properly. Or if you do get it in there, it's going to have just enough pressure on it to, you know, crack that glass again from that corner that's bent. So E-Tech Parts, they make little tools. They're like little vices or whatever you can put onto the corners of either, you know, an iPad or an iPhone, iPod or whatever, to straighten the corners back out. Or if you get one they even make them for the sides to where, like, if you have one that someone had in their pocket and they sit down on it, you know, the entire mid frame will kind of go banana shaped. They've got, you know, tools to make that and straighten that back out. So, you know, they're expensive. Those parts are expensive and you have to buy, you know, the tool itself, and then you got to buy the other part that's for like the corner or the part that's for the edge. So you can expect to pay probably, you know, $250 in parts to straighten out an iPad.
Okay.
But, you know, it's well worth it. You can, you know, maybe charge an additional fee for, you know, fixing that part if on someone's iPad if they bring it in. Because, you know, it's going to add a little more time to the job for sure. And, you know, you're not going to get a good repair if you don't fix that part. So,
well, yeah, because you can't get those screens back in when that stuff is bent. And what I did when I looked at those tools, what I liked about them was they are specifically shaped for the corner, or like you said, the midframe and stuff. And they're basically like, they're almost like bending tools where they basically bend that metal back exactly into the shape it's supposed to be. But instead of you taking a pair of pliers or, like you said, a Dremel tool, put this thing on there, you crank it a little bit, and it'll move that back out into the same shape that it originally was, which will save you a lot of time, I would think.
Yeah, and you know, you're not going to over reshape it. I mean, it's like you're basically remolding it. So once you put it on there and you shape it, that's as far as it's going to go once it gets back to the shape that it's supposed to be in. And, you know, sometimes I don't think I've had a couple that's come in that they've dropped it, and then they dropped it, and then they dropped it again. And then that corner ends up kind of getting rounded over the top of itself. I don't know if, you know, if you can imagine maybe, I don't know, like a piece of tinfoil that gets bent, and then you bend it again, kind of that effect or whatever.
Right.
So you can't, I haven't tried to straighten one out with the tool by using, you know, that's in that shape. So I don't know if it would fix it or not. But every time I've had one, I've been successful in repairing it. So except for one, I had one that I just told them, I was like, you know, if you want it fixed, like you bought it, we're just going to have to replace the entire frame of the iPad.
Right.
And, you know, it was an older, it was a 3, and they were going to buy a new one anyway. So they just said, well, we'll just, you know, leave it in the case and go with it, because the glass was sticking up just a little bit. And I was like, well, you know, we'll just go with it until it dies or get a new one. So.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, those are good parts. I mean, as far as any other parts that would be useful, I mean, that's really about all I've found. And I don't use those. I've had them in my shopping cart, you know, a few times. I think if I do get another iPad job in, and find out in enough time, you know, to order those before I get it brought to me, I probably will, and I'll just, you know, have them suck up the cost of the part.
Right. Right.
So, cause you know, I mean, I don't like to send it back with, jacked up frames still. So sometimes
that's a cost of service. So, I mean, it's something that you're making it right, which is, you know, there's no reason you shouldn't charge extra for straightening their frame out. You're not just replacing the glass. You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that makes perfect sense. And I think once you have the tool, I mean, the tool is good for as long as that, you know, I would imagine as far as that generation is out, I don't know if they're all very similar throughout the generations where you could use that same tool over and over again, or if you have to buy it for a specific generation, you know, stuff like that. So we'll have the link in the show notes for the company that has those parts or those tools, I should say.
Yep. And then as far as getting the replacement parts on the devices themselves, you know, most people just go to eBay or Amazon and get them. Majority of the time, that's where I do get mine. Whenever I am ready to make a big order, then, you know, I've got other places and sources that I go to, or if I have to get a part that I can't find on eBay or someplace like that, then again, I've got my sources out of China that I go through and get those often hard to find parts, because I mean, a lot of the repair videos, you know, you can see they show you how to tear down the phone and stuff, but there's still pieces inside the phones that they don't show you that you need, like around the cameras. There's a there's a little plastic ring that, and this is, you know, for the four S's. There's a little plastic ring that sits around that camera to help stabilize it inside the frame. And then as far as for the 5 and the 5S is the same thing, except for it's square. And these parts, a lot of the times, don't get transferred over. I mean, the phone will still function. But, I mean, if it's in there and it's put in there, then it's for a reason. And so I just like to, you know, fix it like it's supposed to be.
Right.
So sometimes those parts, they're starting to become more available now. But anytime like a new model comes out, those little parts like that are really hard to find. And usually you have to go straight to the manufacturer, you know, over in China. And a lot of these places can be found on, speaking of, Alibaba, which, you know, those that are in the market have probably already gotten their shares today. That was another another big thing that came out today. So, you know, Alibaba is, for those that might not know, is comparable to our Amazon, really, more or less. I mean, that would probably be the best comparison.
Okay.
It's just a large market they're based out of China, and they just host mainly manufacturers of different things in China. I mean, anywhere from clothing to electronics to automotive stuff. I mean, if you want it, you can go, you're going to find someone that makes it on Alibaba. And like I say, most of them they come direct from the manufacturers, and some of them, they say that they're the source of, you know, an original iPhone parts or original. I don't know. It's all the same. They're good at copying. It works. It looks just as good. So, you know, they're good. I've got two that I usually do most of my buying from whenever I do go through them, two sources. But, you know, those are really good when you want to make a big bulk purchase, or, again, just the small specialty parts, because a lot of them will have limitations on how few you can order or how many you have to order, whichever way you want to look at it. So, you know, you need to be ready to have more than you probably want. And the pricing is usually a little bit cheaper than you would probably find off of eBay. Most of the time it is, just because you're buying it straight from them instead of, say, you know, some other person that buys and then they resell like a third right. party or whatever. You know, just like regular, just like anything, you know, in sales and commerce, you know, you're going to take out the middleman and you're not going to pay as much.
Gotcha.
Well, so,
yeah, if you have, if you get a chance and you have some specific links where you buy from eBay or something like that, if you could shoot those over, we could add those to the show notes and, mm-hmm. you know, give people an idea. And then, yeah, we'll get the Alibaba site and eTech for the tools. We'll get right. that up there. So, I mean, how many would you say, you know, how many do you normally stock as far as screens in your shop for each type of phone on average?
I could look in my repair shopper. We'll get to that later on. And I could tell you exact numbers of every one I got. But usually at least 5 maybe
okay.
of every style, except for the 5C, because those are not very often. So I usually keep one or two
okay.
on stock of those. And I've got them in black and white. So, you know, and then if I have like a color conversion screen that's popular, I'll keep, you know, maybe one or two of those. So that way, you know, anytime anyone needs a repair, I was like, hey, do you want to go with black and white, or do you want to, you know, go with a yellow or a blue? It's like, oh, you can do that. And I was like, yeah. So, you know, and with those, I add a little bit more to it, because to buy those are a little bit more expensive.
Sure.
You know, and it gives a little bit more individuality to a phone other than being black or white.
Right. So, absolutely.
And the same, you know, the same is for the mid frames, for the 5s models. You can change the back of the mid frames so it's not the space gray or, you know, the three, or was it the three? They got, yeah, the gold, the space gray, and the silver.
Okay. Yeah.
So like my son's, I just changed it to a red with a black screen. I had a gold screen, but he thought that was a little much. Looked a little too Iron Man-ish. So
that's kind of cool. But I mean, I do like black and red too. So
yeah. So we did that. Okay. And let's see. So, you know, do a little customization. There's a lot of, you know, shops that will do that. Custom screen changes, custom frame changes. And then I just got an email a week ago or so. I don't know, for some of those that may remember, a couple of years ago, the iPhone 4 came out and there was a company that was making the LED conversion kit. So that way your iPhone 4 would have the Apple on the back would light up.
Nice. Okay.
And I've got a lot of those still. I overbought on those. So if any, if anybody's interested in those, contact me. I've got some of those that if you want to tinker, I'll gladly give them to you at cost or less if you want to buy a lot. But those were cool. And then, like I say, I just got an email from one of the Alibaba suppliers, and they have the same thing for the iPhone 5s now that has a little kit where you can do a conversion on it, and the Apple on the back will light up. So I'm thinking I might order one of those just to see and tinker with.
Sure.
See how that works, because those are pretty cool. Those sold pretty good. But no, let's see. I don't know. What do you want to run over? Let's talk real quick. Let me look at this. Since the iPhone 6, let's go back to that. So if anybody, you know, thinks they may be interested in doing these repairs, that with the iPhone 6, you're going to be all right, because it's going to be very, very similar to the iPhone 5 repair, like we kind of initially broke out with at the top of the show, that iFixit has a teardown out now. And I just looked right before we started and ran through it real quick. It looks like it's going to be the same. You know, pop the two screws out of the bottom, fold up the frame. I didn't look to see, you know what, they must have changed, like on the 5S, whenever you pull the screen off, you got to be careful of the menu button or the main button, because it has the, you know, the touch sensor built into that, and connected to that is a small ribbon on the very front of the board. So when you open it, you got to stop, disconnect that ribbon, and then continue to open it so you can get to the ribbons for the LCD and camera ribbons. But on this teardown that they got, it looks like they may have changed that, because there's no ribbon. You can't always trust the pictures that they put up. And again, you know, they don't show all the little tiny nuances of parts that needs to be swapped out when you do a repair, if you want to make it right. But, you know, scrolling through here, looks like the camera breaks down a little bit different, just because it's got a bigger lens on it.
Okay.
It looks like, you know, anybody out there that wants to do it can still do it and, you know, not have any issues with it.
Is there a price on the iPhone 6 screens yet?
They are. Let's see. Okay. Of course, this is again from one of the suppliers from Alibaba. And they have all the little stuff that you'd expect, all the cables, the PowerFlex cable, the volume cable, the home button cable, the charging dock cable. When I say cable, I mean, this isn't just, you know, a cable. Usually it'll have the plastic, like on the charging docks, you know, the whole piece. But they just list them. The Wi-Fi cables, stuff like that. You know, the prices, about the same as they are for a 5, on all of those cable systems and components that go with it, you know, $12, $7, $5, $8.
Okay.
At the bottom, for the 4 and 4.7 iPhone 6 LCD screen assembly is $240. And what is this? They don't have it. Tempered glass. I want to cover that too. Here after we do some other stuff. As far as the 5.5, they don't have a price on those screens yet. So I figure they're going to be a little bit more than the 4.7 inch at $240, which isn't too bad, really. I think that's about the same price that the fives were when they first came out.
Okay.
They were, you know, somewhere around that range. They were under 300, I remember, but they were high.
How long did it take for them to come down to the price you're paying now?
Well, to get down to a reasonable price.
A reasonable price would be good.
Yeah, it was about 6 months after they first came out, if I remember right.
Okay.
And then after that, they stayed at about 100. Well, no, they stayed about 60 to 80 range for a really long time. And then, of course, as rumor starts floating around, and then, you know, as you get closer to the release of a new device, then the prices start dropping faster, and, you know, availability, you know, as far as your suppliers, they kind of start carrying as much, they stop carrying inventory for that one, so that way they don't have, you know, end up getting stuck with it. So
right,
like the, you know, the fours, sometimes I have trouble finding colored screens for some of the 4 and the 4S's, like I used to, just because, you know, they don't want to keep making them and get stuck with that inventory.
Gotcha.
So yeah, you know, good news is phones for the iPhone 6 is going to be here. I mean, most people still have a 4, so, you know, they're probably going to, you know, those that aren't a diehard will pick up, you know, a 5 maybe, or a 5S, because they'll be cheaper on their new contract. And, you know, so that's, you know, 3 more years at least of the 5 that you're going to have. And then the 6s, you know, a year from now, those will be reasonable. So, you know, a good 5 years at least for, I would say, you know, iPhone repairs for anyone wanting to get into it.
Maybe, you know, now would be the time to make that jump and go ahead to do that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything we haven't covered? Do you want to move on to another subject now? I think we.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as far as notes, we got that. We got brushed on that. Why I don't have one yet, unless someone wants to buy me one.
There you go.
Alibaba parts.
Max is taking donations.
Let's see. Six, the release parts. I don't know, repair shopper maybe. You want to touch on that?
Yeah, we can talk about repair shopper.
How far are we on into our show now?
Oh, we're about 38 minutes in 15 seconds.
Oh, okay. I was looking here. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, but I forgot we started talking way before we started recording. So, yeah, repair shopper. I know you are actually the one that kind of got me locked onto this, and I've mentioned it in the forums a little bit and stuff. You know, for those that don't know or haven't checked it out, Repair Shopper is one of those, I guess you could call it a CMS, for managing your shop, using a software, and it's awesome. I've changed over completely to it, you know, as far as how I do everything. You know, some people from I've talked to, you know, some people was using QuickBooks, and then they would use paper to keep track of what they were doing, or, you know, an Excel spreadsheet,
right?
Or some other form of you know, system managing, trying to manage their shop. So they had two or three different things going on in different places, and then you got to come together and put everything together, and then, you know, invoice, or, you know, using FreshBooks, or, you know, some similar products. But Repair Shopper is an all-in-one tool. Everything from getting the object. Oh, actually, if you even want to go further, so marketing for your business, you know, and marketing to get the business for any repairs. You know, computer, iPhone, whatever you're doing. And then tracking from getting the customer through marketing, through getting the device into your shop for repair, to letting the customer know that you received the device and that it keeps track of everything that you do while you're working on the device, from, you know, from doing a diagnostic on the device, through ordering parts if you need to, through telling them that the device is ready and that it's invoiced, every step that you have, you can set it up to notify the customer through either an email or through a text, to let them know what's going on. Whenever I first started using it, some of my customers, I was getting emails back and they were like, "Oh, what is this? Who's this from?" I was like, "Oh, it's my new system. Don't worry about it." And they go, "Oh," they were like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. So I'm going to know what's going on at all times." I was like, "Yeah, so I'm going to have to."
As long as the technician puts in the information. Yeah. So, as far as that goes, I've tried to make it a habit of when I'm in the next step of a process, you take the computer in, you put down the serial number, what type of computer it is, all that kind of stuff, add that to the ticket, send out an initial email with the known problem, and then you get to where you diagnose it. And basically you go back in and you put, okay, here's what I found. The customer told you about a problem and that's what they brought it in for. Here's what you find. So this is my diagnosis, which emails them also. You don't have to have it email them. I do though, because it puts a link on there where they can actually click the link, log into Repair Shopper and see what steps have been taken with their computer so far. They can email you back, which comes through Repair Shopper, which is kind of nice. Because it's important when you get something from Repair Shopper that's an email, and it's usually from a customer saying, whatever you've asked them. All their information is all in one spot. Here's the nice thing too. As you're building up the information for the different computers, I don't know how many of you out there cannot remember what you've done for, XYZ customer 6 months ago. I barely can remember what I've done for XYZ customer last week. Hey, remember? I don't remember what I did to your computer. I have no idea, because you deal with so many that, or even if you don't deal with a lot, it's still hard to keep track of that stuff. So this, I can log in on my phone, tablet, or computer, because web-based, it's all in the cloud, and I can basically find out, I did a virus removal for you on such and such a computer. And, it gives all that information. So you can invoice them. Now, I still print out paper invoices. I do send them an email invoice also, because a lot of the stuff I do, people bring it to me and pick it up here. So I have something where they're paying me, hey, here's your invoice, that type of thing. They can pay through PayPal if they want. It puts a little link for PayPal on there. They can go in PayPal, pay it, no problem. It's an all-inclusive system. You can send out marketing emails. I've done that a couple times. You do an email blast to all your customers. Hey, yep. I have such and such a special going on right now. This is what's going on. Blah, blah, just mention this and, you get a discount, that type of thing. So it's really an all-inclusive system, and that's what I like about it. There's a lot of other systems out there, and a lot of other things work for other people, and that's fine. This one works with how my brain works. So there might be other good systems out there that people are comfortable with and use, and you're comfortable with that. This one I use because my brain understands each and every step I'm doing, and it just makes sense to me. So I really like the system that they put in place. And again, it was put together by Troy Anderson from Repair Shopper, and he basically was a computer tech for many, many years and created this system for himself, and then turned around and decided to make a business out of it and sell it to other computer repair shops so that they had a system that they could use. So those are some of the things I like about it. What about you, Max? What types of things you've been using it for?
I like the inventory control that you can do with it. And then if you have to order a part, it will, you can set it up there where, you can go in there and say, "Hey, I ordered this part from such and such supplier," and then you can note that. And then again, like you said, you can note it to where it'll notify the customer that you ordered the part, that you're waiting for it. The other cool feature is once you get it set up, then for those that are familiar with QuickBooks, you know, if you've used it to where you go in there and you set up like the different items, I think is what it's called in QuickBooks. I forgot already now.
Okay.
But to where, like, you know, say you get a computer in and you want to say one item I did was I did a diagnostics, and then, you know, the next item that I did was I cleaned the computer physically on the outside, because, you know, we all know that sometimes you want to do that before you touch it.
And absolutely.
And then you can say, okay, from there, I, you know, started my process of doing my VMSR, or the virus and, you know, spyware, malware removal, rootkits and all that. And I started that process, and then just whatever your steps are, that way you basically, what you're doing is you're building your, list of, hey, this is what I've done, so that when you make your invoice, then, you know, one, you know what you've done, and two, the customer knows what you've done. And then so as in QuickBooks, Repair Shopper will do the same thing. You just go in there and add, you know, add everything that you want to do, and then they have a bundle feature. So like in QuickBooks you could do a template, but with the Repair Shopper it's called, you can bundle items together. So let's say, you know, you do the same thing more or less every time you do a virus removal, you click that bundle, everything that's related to that process that you have will load into the invoice, so that way you don't got to add every item. And then of course, you know, if you do something separate, like you had to repair something while you were doing that, then you can go in and add that as well.
Okay.
That way, yeah, you know, it gives you your breakdown. Then it will, of course, total everything, you know, add the taxes. If you have any items that are you're tracking in your inventory, then it will, you know, deduct those from your inventory automatically. So that way, if you have it set up to notify you, say you want to know you have, you know, you have three sticks of RAM of a certain size or whatever on hand, and you want to know whenever you have just two left, so that way you can order more.
Right.
Then it'll notify you, and then you can also set it up to where it will automatically send you these notifications at the end of the day, you know, once a day or whatever, so that way you know what you're low on, and you can order them and get your inventory stock back up to where you want to keep it. So that I've really liked that feature a lot. I mean, I don't know. There's so many in there that I'm still trying to figure out really as I go along, and they're, you know, they keep updating it here and there. And anytime I've had any problems, I've emailed them and gotten the response back almost, you know, immediately. At least that same day I got a response.
Right.
And then, you know, worked it back and forth. And there's, you know, they're real good with keeping you up to, keeping up the help, you know, through email or whatever.
Right.
And, what else is in there? I know we've talked about it a couple of times, and, no, you can come on in. And, we've kind of, you know, discovered a few things here and there together. So I can't, you know, what?
Well, what do you use? Use like the mobile service on it, on the repair shopper?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. You can go in there, see what, like, there's the mobile mode. You're talking about like the kiosk mode and stuff like that.
Well, I mean for your mobile repair, because I think they did something for like your iPhone repairs, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. There's a feature where you can go in there that's separate, not really separate. I mean, you don't have to pay separate to get it or use it, but it's designed for that purpose, mainly for, I think it's just iPhones, actually, if I think about it
now.
Okay,
maybe it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can go in there and, like if you go to, you know, if someone was to go to my page, I direct a customer to my page. I say, hey, go to, you know, to iDevice repairs, and then find your device, or go, you know, click on your iPhone, and then they can submit a ticket that way. And it's real convenient for them because it walks them through each step. So they'll click on iDevice, and then they'll pick iPhone or iPod or iPad, And then so they click on, let's say, just the iPhone. They'll click on iPhone, and then it'll have, you know, iPhone 5 or iPhone 4. You click on which that, you know, which model, and then which carrier. And then it'll process it through all the way through to sending you an email and starting a ticket for that customer. So that way you get notified that, you know, you have a new job coming in. And plus, you know, that's pretty nice that, especially for the iPhone 4s, 4Ss, because it, you know, they, that's even worse as far as trying to keep inventory on those for the 4s, because, you know, it matters if it's AT&T or Verizon, because it's, you know, CDMA, GSM, the frames are different.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you got to keep two of each for each model and stuff like that. So where were we at? Oh, so that's what that mobile repair does. That way you know exactly what's coming in, and you know, you can be prepared for that. If you have the inventory, you'll know you'll have it, and if not, you can order it. What other cool features are there that are like that? The other one we kind of mentioned was the kiosk. Feature, you know, say like you had a store itself, then you could set up a computer out in front to where they come in. You know, if you're real busy or whatever, then you could send them to the kiosk and they could check their device in, whether it be, you know, a mobile device or a computer.
Right.
They can come in, check it in, pre-fill all their information, and then you don't have to sit there, you know, at the counter or whatever with them going over everything. And then you can decide what information you want them to put in there, you know, beforehand. So, you know, you have everything that you want, you know, their name, phone numbers, emails, you know, do they want to be receiving, receive notifications via text, yes or no, type of stuff like that. I mean, what else? I mean, I guess the coolest thing, you know, we hadn't talked about, and some people that don't know anything about it, it's like, well, dude, how much is that going to cost?
Right.
You know, less than 50 users, it's free. Right.
From what I remember. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's less than, if you do less than 25 invoices or less a month.
Yeah, 25. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, 25.
You'll get, it's, everything's free. Now, yeah. In order to do the marketing blasts and stuff like that, you have to, you know, the paid for service. And I think the next one up is like $50 a month.
That's what it was. Yeah, I knew there's 50 somewhere.
But it's very comparable to a lot of stuff that's out there. And it's, you know, it's a very good service. But if you're a one-man shop, you're small, you don't have a whole lot of business going on, this is a great place to start, and it'll do 95% of the stuff that you need it to do. Mm-hmm. And the other 5%, when you get to that point of growth in your business, you can add to it and pay for that service, which in my opinion will be well worth it. And, you know, it's like any other system out there. It's, you're going to pay for what you get, you know, but they have a great tiered system where they give you free service up to a certain amount of invoices that you do a month.
Let's see what else. I thought there was something else I was going to mention about it, but I can't think of what it is. other than almost every time I get into it, I find something new.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many cool features in it. And they're actually coming out. Oh, it does the bar scanning and tracking that
way.
Yes,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, so that way, like if you have, what's mine? Mine's the, what do I use? I use the Brother Label Maker. What's the other? There's another popular one that a lot of people use for making labels. But anyway, I mean, it'll accept either one of those devices, you know, for making labels. You print them out. It's got the barcode scanner on there. Boom, you hit it with the barcode reader, and you save yourself a bunch of typing in. With those labels, you can make labels so that way someone comes in, you check them in, get their computer, you know, serial number, all their information into your database, and then you click a button, you make a label, you take that sticker, you put it on that device, and then any other stuff they bring in, a bag, a charger, you know, whatever else they may have with their devices, you can inventory all that. Print the label out, put it on whatever device, you know, whatever whatever you need to with the bag, the laptop. I always put them on my chargers as well, or the customer's chargers if they have a laptop. I'll put it on those as well. Make sure they get their charger back.
Gotcha.
And, you know, then you've got all the information on the back of everyone's stuff. So that way you're not like, oh, whose is this? Whatnot. keeps tracks of stuff like that too. So that's been really helpful.
Well, that's cool. That's very cool. Yeah. You know what? You just taught me something new, because I didn't realize that you could even, I knew you could do the barcode thing, but then I'm thinking, well, how do you scan that?
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, actually my Android device will scan that just fine. So.
Oh yeah. 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 And you know, those that, you know, don't want to use something like that or whatever, those little handheld barcode readers are like $10.
Are they really? Okay.
Off,
very cool.
Off of eBay or, you know, someplace, okay. Amazon or something like that. Yeah. 10. I think I've even seen some for 7 or 8. So, and then you can always get the real fancy setup, you know, that's like $500.
Oh, but, sure.
No, I don't have any problem with just those cheap ones. So, I mean, yeah, that's kind of what I've been using. I mean, makes it nice. I just got to start remarketing myself now. You know, having gone through, you know, a big issue the past couple of months, I've kind of dropped some in business just because people have been kind of leaving me alone until I get resettled and stuff. But I haven't done any newspaper ads or marketing in a while. So I'm going to start doing that. Okay. Try to draw some more traffic. You know, been using Chris to do a bunch of my remote work. I think we've touched on that quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
past shows. So, so yeah, that's. I mean, man, that's what I've got going on, and it's helped a lot. You know, having those two services, just the repair shopper and Chris. So I'm gonna start pushing it, trying to get my clientele built back up on top of everything else I've got going on with my other businesses that I'm starting up with my wife. So man, I guess, I mean, unless you got something else, the only thing I've got is complaints. Just kind of
well, I'll tell you what, let's you know what, yeah, we're almost at the hour mark anyways. Let me go ahead, and there was a email that was sent to the show. Let's go ahead and go to emails, and let's see. And this was an email on a show that we did talking about Windows 8.1 with Corey Fruitman. It basically says, Jeff, hey, thanks very much for your recent Windows 8 episode. It helped me to remotely assist my father-in-law to find the scanning app so that he could scan a document. I just went to the start screen, Metro or Modern, and started typing S-C-A-N, and it popped up. Thanks, Jeff. So, yes, my name is Jeff, and his name was Jeff. I didn't have a last name there, so, but anyways, appreciate that, Jeff. Thanks for the email, and I'm glad that it helped somebody out there, and I'm glad you wrote me in and told me about it. So,
yeah, for sure, yeah.
That was really cool, so I definitely appreciated that. Yeah, so, well, if anybody wanted to reach you, what would be the best way, Max?
You go to my website, you know, maximumtechnology.com. Okay. Use a contact that way. What else is the, you know, oh man, I always hate when you ask this, and it seems like everyone else is like, it's like all of a sudden you don't know where you're at, but, Max Team On,
okay,
pretty much across any social media.
Gotcha.
Will reach me there on Twitter, you know, phone numbers, whatever. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, if anyone has any, you know, specific questions, just, you know, send them in to the show, you know, for iPhone repairs and stuff like that. You know, send it to Jeff or contact me, and I'll, you know, put it back out to Jeff if it's a good question or whatever. But, you know, look at it. It's going to be around for a while, and you know, might as well take advantage of it, because someone's going to need to fix those devices. So it might as well be used, especially, you know, as easy it is. You can get jobs down to, you know, 15 minutes or less, and, you know, make a good you know, profit margin off of them. So
it sounds very profitable and, yeah, and something that that is needed, because people drop their phones all the time and smash the screens and, you know, bend the frame. So
yeah, and that's what I was just looking at. You know, of course, there, you know, everyone wants to bash here and bash there, and which is good, because, you know, there's already a bunch of videos out. You know, they were talking about the sapphire glass and, you know, how strong it's supposed to be, and so everyone's putting out these videos how easy it is to break the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. I'm like, yes, keep breaking them.
Well, here's the thing. So, glass breaks, I don't care what it is. You could make diamond glass, and I guarantee you it would still break.
Yep.
So that's cool. Well, Max, I appreciate you coming out on the show, and appreciate you sharing with all your knowledge about the iDevice repair and, you know, repair shopper and stuff. And, you know, it's just been, I think we've covered a lot of information that hopefully will help some people out, and we'll have some links in the show notes where people can go to get some of the things that we talked about to get started in, you know, the iDevice repair. And, yeah, Max is always, he's always more than willing to help out and talk to people. And like he said, if you send me an email, I will get it to him and get the question answered, and we'll definitely put it on the show to help some other people out. So, you guys can also find me over on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish, or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, email me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. Any technicians out there that want to come on the show, it's very easy. Just contact me at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com, and we will get you set up and we'll record a show, and you can talk about your day in your computer repair shop. You guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. Puts a little change in the pockets of the Podnuts Network to bring you these great shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.